Well, you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
You bet.
Sarcophagus. Where do we get the word sarcophagus?
When are you going to come up with one of these that I know?
Well, I got scapegoat.
Oh, that's me.
You want that one? All right. Why is a person who suffers from another's deeds called a scapegoat?
Have you ever had goats? All they do is escape.
The book of Leviticus in the Bible tells how, on the Day of Atonement, the sins of the people were symbolically placed upon the head of a goat, and the goat was then allowed to escape into the wilderness.
See, I told you goats always escape.
Yep. Thus, the term scapegoat literally means escaping goat.
I've had goats.
Not in escarpment goat.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Geez. So what's keeping you busy?
We got a ton of projects going on. We're starting to ramp up to open our campgrounds back up in our parks. Our parks have been extremely busy with day users as everything else shut down, and we're basically the only ones open. So now we're ramping up to start allowing camping starting July 10th.
Was there any thought, Tom, to take the time and do some of the deferred maintenance, or was there any that you could really get to and still abide by all the rules and stuff that the state had made?
Well, not really. We're down 5 people out of 13 in my parks department, and like I say, we were slammed with day users for the last 2 months. People want to get out, and we've had to do everything we can to try to keep our parks clean and open and bathrooms clean and trash cans emptied, and it's been busy.
Has anybody thought about bigger garbage cans?
That depends, you know. You got to walk that line between the cleanups, the pickups, and the timing. And get bigger, then you're overpaying for capacity, or it sits there for too long and
it
becomes stench.
Neighborhood, you know, or randoms.
Yeah, you see a dumpster and they get full. They're, you know, they're just natural attractants.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, so is there any deferred projects in any of the parks that you were able to? That you were able to address, or is it just pretty much they were there and spring blooms happened and nobody was there?
No, we focused really on a lot of ADA projects over the winter at our parks. But then when COVID hit, it became, instead of a May opening where we get really busy, it was a March opening where we got really busy.
Understood.
Which is good. That's why the parks are there.
Now, the ADA compliance stuff, I would imagine that the standard for a park or a campground is a little bit different just because it's not paved all over the place.
Well, there are differences. There are ADA rules that apply to parks. But in our where we had our restrooms, we had to bring those up to compliance. Our playground facility out at Freshwater, we had to redo and make it compliant. There's paths that you have to have that are compliant. So not everything has to be compliant because, yes, it is a park, it is nature, but we do as much so that any person, irregardless of the disability or not, can access Humboldt County Parks and visit our parks.
With some of those as a backdrop, you've got ADA, you've got the state doing what they're doing, you've got the funding challenges that are still, you know, we're certainly a big question mark during that period of time. Do you just kind of play everything close to the vest?
Right now, yes. We went into this year in really actually better shape than we've ever been, and then came COVID. We had, you know, our gas tax got increased despite opposition. That gave us more money. Come March, people started traveling a lot less. And so our road budget, our monthly gas tax revenue went down 56%. And we expect that to continue until things open back up and people start driving again.
Now, one hand, you have a school of thought that says, well, if people are driving less, then the roads are going to last longer.
And
the other hand says, well, earthquakes and weather and things of that nature really don't take a holiday, and it's not based on a per vehicle driving over.
No, a lot of our problems are natural disasters. You know, some of our bigger projects, those are longer term projects. But the day-to-day maintenance, if there's people driving on the road, that the good sections of the road will stay good longer. The environment will be cleaner because we won't have the emissions, but we won't have the revenue to do anything either. So us engineers are a smart bunch. If we do water, we tell people to use less water, and then we have to charge them more. So same thing with roads. We tell people to drive more, you use more gas, we get more revenue, but is that really benefit to our environment?
What is the setback for growth on the side of a roadway? I mean, we will take the old highway through the national park, or the old highway, or we went for a walk as I'm trying to kind of get bipedal again, behind the zoo, and the old service road, and I can remember being in the car with mom and dad going on that, but it's just kind of starting to creep in the sides, and I had that thought this weekend. You know, how far can that stuff come in and a road still be considered a thoroughfare?
Are you talking about development up to the edge of the right-of-way?
No, landscape material.
Just
trees and bushes and things
like that. Well, everybody in the business likes to have a 10-foot clear area. For us, that's virtually impossible. We are able to mow basically once a year, if we're lucky, to get all of our roads mowed. Some of our roads, they go up on one side and straight down on the other, so there's really not a lot of areas you're going to clear. But we try to get at least a 4 to 6 foot strip when we're out there mowing or hacking on.
So just like off the asphalt?
Off the shoulders.
Yeah. How is the Shelter Cove Road? Is that
It's under construction. It's been under construction for over a month now, and they are progressing.
That's got to be fun. I mean, I'm sure you don't spend an awful lot of time out there, but nonetheless, to know that that's being addressed.
It's a good feeling to finally get to the end of a project and get it out the door. It seems like it can take 10 years to get through the paperwork for a 3-month project, and that's one of those that is a storm damage site. We have to go through the federal process. We have to follow all the rules or we won't get reimbursed. You can't do anything without their approval. And we finally got their approval. And that site was out there for a good 2 years before, you know, we finally got the approvals to move it forward.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Public Works Director for the County of Humboldt and Parks guy, Tom Madsen. You know, you're not wearing the Smokey Bear face mask anymore.
I think we're 6 feet away from each other.
Okay. Yeah, at least. As you look at the status and the condition of the parks, is Humboldt County going to be able to continue to have parks into the future? Are these assets that are really difficult to maintain, even though that there's a lot of demand and a lot of interest for them? Is it something that is a luxury at this point?
I don't believe so. I mean, we've got very good support from our board to keep our parks open. We do, you know, look at options to offer them to other people, like service districts, if they're within a community service district area. But the parks are important to the county, and they're important to Public Works, and they're important to the people. And, you know, we just, recently got the McKay Tract up and running. That was 1,000 acres, a whole new purchase. You know, and it'll have a sustainable timber management plan to generate revenue to maintain the park. And so we're looking at, you know, different ways of doing things. But no, we're not planning on giving up on parks.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are the parks that you envision in the future similar to the parks that we've had, let's say, in the last 20 or 30 years? Is it a different use pattern, different dynamics? What will they look like down the road?
For the county, most of our parks are natural terrain. They're rivers, Clam Beach, the beach. They're not a city park. We don't do city parks. I have one playground that's at Freshwater, but we don't do the city kind of parks at all. County parks are kind of more like state parks. They're natural areas where our residents have a chance to go out and recreate, camp, barbecue, meet with friends, 6 feet apart.
And not too many.
Not too many.
Yeah. You guys don't have to enforce that stuff, do you?
We are observing that the vast majority of people are self-enforcing it out at our parks. We may have to go up to a group here or there randomly, but it has not been a common occurrence. Most people are either with their own family or their friends together in small groups, and they're giving everybody space. And the advantage of county parks is we have a lot of space.
Well, and a lot of trails, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's probably a little different dynamic than what it could be in some other marketplaces, like you said, you know, inside of cities.
Yeah. You know, our playground at Freshwater is closed because that would be a place where kids all got together real close and we wouldn't be able to clean it, and that's still closed. But other than that, there's plenty of the grassy areas. There's water to play in. There's all kinds of different things to do at county parks.
Are there any thoughts down the road or ever? Or no, wait, you guys pulled the dam stuff out at Freshwater Park, didn't you?
We put it in annually. We did not put it in this year because we did not project. When we started talking about reopening our campgrounds internally 2 weeks before they gave us the notice, we were thinking it'd be 2 months. We were not expecting them on the 12th to come forward and say, now you can start opening parks. So we're going through the process right now, figuring out, okay, how many campers can we allow? How many times a day do we need to clean the bathrooms? How many times a day do we need to move the garbage? All the different protocols that we're going to have to do to keep it safe for people to recreate and keep our employees safe.
You had indicated that your staffing is reduced. Is that because there's not the seasonal employment this year, or were there cutbacks and retirements?
Well, we had two permanent employees leave. And then in the summer, we generally hire 6 extra help every year. But because we did not project the campgrounds to be open, we only hired 3. So we're still looking for an additional 3 summer help to come on and help us out as we open up the campgrounds.
Is there any thought as on the public works side? You know, you've got a lot of those contracted things that are out there.
Oh, yeah. Already.
Is there any impact to this? So this construction cycle, or is it the following construction cycle where the impacts, financial or otherwise, will come into play?
Well, I'm not foreseeing the capital project side problem because most of our capital projects are federal funding, and they are not indicating. In fact, they're debating a huge infrastructure bill right now as we speak. And so the big projects are primarily federally funded. The storm damages, you know, roughly 90% federal funds. We discussed before we started the show the Herrick Ave project, which will be starting as soon as the birds stop nesting. That's, you know, a couple hundred thousand, but again, it's federal funds.
And those birds are in the way?
It's nesting season, so once the birds start nesting, you have to wait until they're done nesting and move on.
Now, is that true for endangered, or is that any?
There's all kinds of different species that we look, but basically, if it's nesting season, you're shut down. And so, sparrows, whatever, it's nesting season, you're not going to go out and shake the birds loose and kill the babies.
So it's kind of like with the red tide then. Out in the ocean.
Exactly.
Just from this date to that date. And
you just, you know, you sit and you wait. We're checking every, I think twice a week, we check out there and watch the nests. And if they're still at once.
Bird counts?
Well, we just check the nest to see if there's birds in the nest. So we're not out counting. If they only need one bird in a nest, and we're.
It's enough.
It's enough. But when the nests are empty, then we can start construction.
With some of the discussion around water level increase. Ice melt, global warming, all that kind of stuff.
Climate change.
Is that impacting any of the stuff that you're looking at?
We have to look at it in every one of our projects, such as right now we're well into the design on the South Bay Trail. That has to consider sea rise in the design.
How far?
3 to 5 feet over 50 years is what we're looking at.
Okay. So it doesn't sound like a lot of impact, but I bet you it is.
If your house is near the waterfront, 3 to 5 feet can be a
big
difference.
If you live in King Salmon.
King Salmon,
gotcha.
But our county parks too. I mean, Clam Beach, you know, you got a big wide beach.
No, it would be called Clam Spit.
And, you know, exactly. So.
KINS, News and Information, time and season.
Hi. Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson from Humboldt County Public Works. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Tom, with some of the different challenges that are going on, we'll hear with some of the news releases what the governor and the state is doing in the public health arena. Is there a comparable amount of legislation, new interpretation, that kind of stuff coming down the pipeline that impacts your areas also?
Not really. This is really not a public works emergency, but it's something that nobody has been through in my lifetime. I mean, my daughter told me the other day, "Dad, why didn't you tell me when I was growing up I'd have to wear a mask?" This is just, it's, everybody's trying their best to move through this situation, and the first time you do anything, you're going to have some hits, you're going to have some misses, and you just have to roll with the punches and do the best we can.
How is Caltrans? Are they impacted? Because, you know, as we were talking about with the parks along the beach areas, I'm thinking of like in Alameda County. Yeah, running right along the bay there.
Yeah, and you know, construction is and maintenance of roads is an essential service. So we are all working. We've done special things like our engineers that are managing construction projects are primarily working from home. They go to the job site every day. They have a computer at home. They can log their stuff in. They may come into the office once a week. And I know Caltrans is doing a very similar thing. You can do a lot of stuff with the technology we have at home. The road crews, they have to work together, but instead of putting multiple road crews together like we used to in the past for big chip sealing projects, et cetera, we're having to keep we want to keep the road crews separate, because if an infection hits one crew, we don't want it to take out all the maintenance workers in the county.
Somebody had their thinking hat on when that one came up.
We thought long and hard about how we were going to deal with this, and it's, you know, there's certain things where you just have to say, you know what, you're a group. If one of you gets contaminated, you know, you got to do your best to keep away from each other, but we will keep the groups away from each other because we don't want it to spread countywide.
Is that building camaraderie, esprit de corps, a little bit more within the department?
I think it has a bit, and the road crews are pretty tight. They're, you know, they live and breathe with each other, a small group of people every single day, you know, 5 days a week or 4 days a week in the summer when we roll the tens. But they can be working 7 days a week during disasters. So they have to trust each other. They are tight. You know, even I'm an outsider at this point because I'm not the roads manager anymore. I'm just that guy at the top.
Yeah, the guy in the desk. Yeah. Now, I would suspect that this has probably curtailed some of your activity going down to Sacramento also.
I have not been down to Sacramento since March 5th, and I do not miss driving back and forth to Sacramento and sleeping overnight in a motel room.
Congratulations on that regard.
Yes.
But has it put the rural counties at a competitive disadvantage?
No, because we're doing a lot of Zoom meetings, WebEx meetings, and it's, you know, it's always better to be face to face networking when that builds a lot of camaraderie across the ranks from state to local to federal. Over the phone and over the web is a little bit more impersonal, but we're getting the job done.
Well, I suppose that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line is we're moving things forward.
Yeah. Are you finding any efficiencies associated with this also?
Well, when I look at how long it takes to travel and to Sacramento and back for a half a day meeting, I mean, I have to leave the afternoon before, and then, you know, I'm back late the following night, and that's basically, you know, 12 hours for 4 hours. So I'm kind of liking the not having the 8 hours of travel.
That's why I was kind of thinking that if you got together two or three times a year.
Exactly.
Okay, so the friendships are still there, the relationships are still there, but you're not spending so much time doing nothing, basically.
No, and, you know, that 8 hours of productive time in the office is a lot more beneficial than 8 hours of driving.
I think everybody can agree to that one, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Tom, some of the projects that you were alluding to, you indicated the one on Herrick. What is involved with that? Is that a major relocation of the road, or
no,
is that something we're just going to kind of see as we drive by?
You'll see as you drive by primarily. The outlet pipe is blown, so we have to re-put on an outlet pipe and re-riprap the side of the bank, and we're going to actually do a slip line of the pipe underneath the road. So the vast majority of that project will be off of the shoulder of the road. There will be some times where there'll be a flagger out there when they do have to move things around in the road, but the vast majority of that project is going to be over the side of the hill.
So we're not going to get a new pavement out there?
Nope.
Darn.
That's why we slip line, so we don't have to repave. Herrick is actually, our section of Herrick is actually in pretty good shape.
Nice shot. And I suppose a lot of folks really don't care what side of the street something's on. They just want the street.
They want the road to. They want to be able to drive over the road.
Yeah, yeah. What is the situation with Harrison? Is that going to start? Yeah, it's seeming to show signs every once in a while. I know that was a major project when it.
The city and the county for the last 2 years have put in Measure Z applications for a cooperative project to repave that road, but we've not been funded either year. So it's on both of our radar screens. We are doing curb ramps out there as part of our DOJ settlement agreement consents. But it's on the city and the county's radar as, yes, we need to do another joint project because we own one half of the road and the city owns the other half of the road.
What determines sidewalks? Yeah, I think everybody gets rural. City, I think everybody gets that. But as an example, Harrison, one side has the sidewalks, pretty darn near, I think, maybe the whole length of it. The other side, not all through. Is it because one is in the jurisdiction of city and the other is jurisdiction of county?
It all depends upon when the property was built upon and what the standards at the time are. So for the county, we require sidewalks when you're, you know, upgrading your building a house, basically. If you're doing a subdivision, you'll have to put in the sidewalks. And so there are principal permitted projects where they can just go do what they need to do and we don't have a hook to make them put in a sidewalk. And then there's other projects where they're developing the property, and if it's in an urbanizing area, we will require sidewalks. So like in McKinleyville, we require sidewalks, but in Orleans, probably not.
Hey, you mentioned McKinleyville, and I know that they're starting to revisit the concept of it being incorporated. If that happens, how much time will it take to determine whether or not you guys have a contract with them or you don't? We hear about cops a lot of times, but with public works, not so much so. I guess you guys maybe because you don't carry guns, you're not quite as
well.
Child.
We do cooperative projects with cities all the time. However, this is going to be a new thing for us. We don't have like LA County has a city services bureau in Department of Public Works for the county, and they do contract for 87 cities to do their public works.
So it's kind of like the Office of Ed.
Yeah, there's a template for it. And so, you know, we would be open to that if it went down that line, but we don't know where this is going to go at this point.
Well, I don't suppose even if it passes, whenever it passes, it'll be either of our working lives or maybe lives in general that anything would ever kind of really come to pass.
And if it became a city, it would be their choice of what they wanted to do. So they could hire their own crews. They could contract everything out. They could try to hire the contract with the county. It would be up to them. The whole purpose is to make it their choice. It would be their choice.
But it doesn't handicap the operations for the county.
No.
One way or the other.
No, we would lose a bit of revenue, but it would not be very, very significant on our end. We get the most of our money based on road miles, and you know the formula roughly is 75% road miles, 25% population. And so we don't really have that many miles of road in McKinleyville. Yes, we have the population, we have that effect, but we, you know, the vast majority of our roads are rural county roads.
It wouldn't break your heart either way.
It's really the will of the people. I mean, I work for the people of the county in Humboldt, and if they're in the city of McKinleyville, then that's less people calling me, but it's still...
You just get to go drive further.
Exactly.
When there's a response, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry about green.
Huh?
You having to do the greens... painting in other locations also?
We're looking at it in other locations. Yeah, there's a lot of little communities that look at that. That one just came up out of the safety project, and it's what the community brought up, and that's what we delivered.
I could see like maybe
Redway, or Garberville, Willow Creek. Who knows?
Hutch, all the garden spots. Gee, maybe Eureka will get it sometime. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, bud. Bye-bye.